Hello, this is Kalia from Pandora's Box, and today I'm going to talk about why traditional counseling doesn't work for healing narcissistic abuse. Now, this is no way a knock to traditional counselors. Traditional counselors do a great job in many things, and there are some traditional counselors that know about narcissistic abuse that possibly specialized, but not very many. And what I'd like to say about this is if you understand that medical doctors don't get education in nutrition, and yet nutrition is super important in healing any condition or disease, it is really important, not only cleansing to get the toxins out of your body, but the refueling, the renourishing, the putting really good materials in your body to help to heal and make you strong and healthy. Medical doctors, and they get trained in the science of medicine, they get trained in pharmaceuticals, they get trained in surgery, but they completely skip over the nutritional piece. In psychology, it's similar, is that they're trained in the mind. Psychology is the study of the mind. They study behavior, they study diagnosis, and the higher up in education you go with psychology, then they also get into pharmacology. They get into prescribing drugs for different psychological disorders. And so they skip over really the understanding of the emotions and also the understanding of the holistic structure, which is mind, body, and spirit. We have to consider all of these things when healing. We can't just focus on one thing. And this is what modern medicine does. It focuses on one thing. You've got a heart issue, they're going to focus on your heart. You've got diabetes, they're going to focus on your blood sugar. And so it's important to understand that in order to heal on any level, we have to be holistic in our approach. What I mean when I say holistic is body, mind, and spirit. Or let's say, for the sake of healing narcissistic abuse, which is where what we're really talking about here, body, mind, and emotions. We've got to consider the emotions. The emotions are really overlooked. They're not talked about a lot. And there's another piece. The piece is when it comes to emotions, we can only take another person as deep as we ourselves have gone. So I'm sure you know somebody that's very, very uncomfortable with their emotions. And if you start talking about your emotions, they don't want anything to do with it. They leave the room really quickly. Well, this actually happens with a lot of psychologists. They're very scientific, they're very intelligent, they're very knowledgeable in their field. But when you come in there and you go into that therapy session and you have really strong emotions, that therapist may not be equipped to deal with your emotions. And the first thing they might do is, get out the prescription pad and say, well, let's get you on antidepressants, maybe an antipsychotic, and here you go, see me in a couple weeks. And that's how they're going to deal with your emotions because it makes them uncomfortable, you see. When you go in there and you're an emotional basket case and you're starting to talk about your feelings, and they may be very, very intense, that it's going to trigger that person's feelings. And if that person hasn't done their emotional work, they probably aren't going to know what to do. They're not going to be able to comfortably hold space for you to process or to work through your feelings. Now, I had a therapist once who would really get upset about using the words processing your emotions because processing suggests that we're doing something mental, that we're mentally processing something. And you cannot deal with your emotions on the level of the mental. And this is where almost everybody goes wrong, is they're approaching their emotions from a mental level. They're thinking about how they're feeling instead of feeling. And we also don't, there's not a lot of permission given to actually feeling our feelings. We try to escape our feelings. I talk about this a lot. We try to escape our feelings. Anthony Robbins always talks about how we seek pleasure and avoid pain. Seek pleasure and avoid pain. This is the human animal. That's what we do. So, uncomfortable feelings are painful, and we do everything we can to avoid them. And guess what? Our world provides us tons of addictions. We can choose our addiction. There's alcohol, there's drugs, there's cigarettes, there's food, there's television, there's video games, there's sex, there's all kinds of things that we can distract ourselves with if we want to. However, if we really want to heal, we've got to eliminate the distractions and go into the feelings. And this is what a lot of people don't know how to do, and they don't get the support and the encouragement with. I've had clients come in and tell me, well, I've gone to my therapist, and when I started talking about what was going on with me, it was as if she thought I had this terrible disease, you know, the way she looked at me. I get this so much from people. I've had so many people come to work with me that have had really bad experiences and spent a lot of money and didn't get help. Now, some have come and said, yeah, they were perfectly great people. They were lovely and they helped me a lot, but they didn't help me with this. I'm still struggling with this, meaning the narcissistic abuse. There is another piece besides emotional, and that is spiritual. When you're dealing with something as destructive as narcissistic abuse, you're dealing with a very spiritual topic. We're talking psychic energy cords, we're talking soul loss, we're talking spiritual depletion, energetic depletion. Well, who's equipped to deal with that? It isn't the psychologist. They don't learn about energy medicine. And, you know, energy really isn't a medicine. It is the life force that's going through us. And so our life force goes through their channel that's called the chakra system that goes from the root chakra, which is down in our pelvic region and goes straight up through the heart, the throat, the third eye, and above. And this is the energy system of the body. And when certain areas of the body are blocked, when that energy flow is blocked, then we're going to be compromised. Both our health, our physical health will be compromised, our emotional health will be compromised. So it's really important to focus on getting that energy flow through the body. Well, psychology isn't trained to work in this level. Some energy healers are trained to work on this level, but the thing is you have to work on all levels. Now, when I work with people, I don't say, well, you know, your third eye is blocked, or you've got a block in your throat chakra, or there's something going on in your heart chakra. I don't work on that level, but I'm aware. I'm aware of energy, and I'm aware of how energy flows through the body. And I know it's really important to look at the emotional blocks, because usually it's not just a matter of, you know, going through and doing energy work and unblocking things. It's about doing emotional and psychic work to unblock things. If somebody's blocked up emotionally, we have to be able to work with the emotions to open you up to be able to express and feel what you're feeling. Most of us have been really shut down emotionally, and we haven't had permission by our society to feel what we're feeling. So we have stuffed it down. And when you're needing to heal on this level, I mean, narcissistic abuse is very emotionally disruptive. It causes a lot of damage on the level of the emotions. So we need to really work with that. We've got to discharge these emotions. It's not just a matter of crying. People say, well, I've been crying for 3 months. It's not just crying, because sometimes we cry for the wrong reason, and that doesn't really help us to get better, especially if the reason we're crying is self-pity. If we go into the why me, why did this happen to me, and we're crying out of self-pity instead of actually identifying our core wounds, what's really being triggered in us, which might be, I feel so worthless, or I feel so inadequate, or I feel so unloved and devalued. And a lot of these feelings are core wounds. They've been with you throughout your life. You just may not have hooked up to them. You may not be aware of them. So now is the time to be really aware of what those core wounds are that have been triggered as a result of this relationship, and to be able to really express that pain and change the core beliefs that are behind those core wounds. And so this is another important part of the therapy. If you have a strong emotional connection to that person, we've got to identify what's behind that and do what we can to release that connection. It's often an addiction, but I've had experiences with my hypnosis sessions, my cord cutting and soul retrieval sessions, where people have had immediate results feeling unplugged from that person. So they have one session and they have immediate sense of relief. They have an immediate sense of relief as a result of cutting those psychic cords. And this is really important to them, to be able to feel like they're their own person again, that they're not hooked up to this other person. When we feel hooked up to the narcissist in our life through a toxic energy cord, it will feel like that person is continuing to prey on your life force energy. It will feel like that person's continuing to suck the life out of you, even if you have gotten no contact with that person. And so, that's another thing that the psychologists don't usually understand is psychic energy cords. If you go in and start talking about how you feel like somebody's sucking the life out of you, they may look at you cross-eyed and not know what you're talking about. If you talk about your addiction to that person, they may not fully understand why that addiction is in place and how that happens, because it's common, it's really common with victims of narcissistic abuse to have an obsession and an addiction. And there's reasons for this and that I talk about. If you've watched or listened to any of my Pandora's Box episodes, you'll understand that there's always a good reason that we feel the way that we do, that we feel obsessed, that we feel addicted, that it's hard to go no contact. It's hard to let go of the vision or the idea that you're not going to be with that person anymore, because you've put so much of your energy trying to jump through those hoops, and you've given so much of your energy to that person, that once that person is gone, you feel like you're a shell of your former self. You didn't realize how you gave yourself away. And it's so important to get yourself back. So if you really want to heal from narcissistic abuse, perhaps traditional therapy is not the best way to go. You may get some relief if that's your only option, but you may want to consider doing work on another level, on the level of the spiritual, which could be shamanic. I've been trained in shamanic practices, and I use that in my hypnotherapy. So because I am a hypnotherapist since 1988, I've used hypnotherapy a lot, and I found it really effective in conjunction with my shamanic training. So I put the two of them together. But also, there's something to be said about just counseling, just sitting with a client and asking questions and listening and understanding and validating. I think that is what helps people in my practice more than anything when they first come to me, our first session, is I really listen and I really understand. And they know that I get it. They know that I understand. Where they often have felt so misunderstood in traditional therapy. So somebody who feels like somebody understands what's going on with them, that gets it, the first thing that happens for them is, I'm not crazy. I'm not going crazy. Because when everybody around you thinks there's something wrong with you or can't identify and can't understand what's going on with you, that's the first thing that you think of, that I'm going crazy, that there's something wrong with me. And one phrase I use a lot in my work is, this is very normal for what you are going through. I mean, they know it's not normal for just anybody on the street or an average person, but as a victim of narcissistic abuse, this is normal. For example, PTSD symptoms, normal. Obsession, normal. Difficulty going no contact, normal. A feeling of being energetically corded to the narcissist, normal. So there's all these things that people are feeling that they think they're going crazy, but when they get with somebody that understands, it's like a sigh of relief. Oh my goodness, I'm not going crazy. This is normal for this kind of abuse. So then they can go about the process of recovery, which takes some time. That's another issue, is that, you know, when I first started practicing on this level, if I couldn't help somebody get out of pain, I thought I was a failure as a therapist. I thought it was my job to get people out of pain. And I realized that a lot of therapists believe that or feel that way, and that's where the medication comes in, and that's where all these techniques come in to try to get somebody out of pain. Well, I had a big aha one time. It was a long time ago, but I had this big aha that was, oh, wait a minute. It's not my job to get people out of pain. If I could wave a magic wand and get people out of pain, that would be amazing. I would love to have that magic wand. However, it's not my job to get people out of pain. It is my work to help people to walk through their pain. It is my work to help people to understand their pain. But it is not my work to take people out of pain. It is their own work to walk through it. I am here to facilitate and help. And when you understand that as a therapist, you begin to really help people because you're not approaching it from this miracle worker where, okay, I'm the great doctor, I have to do this great work. No, you know, all the work that we do is within us. So I can only facilitate. I can't magically help or heal, but what I can do is create the environment or the space in which that healing happens. And so that's the work, is to create a space where healing can happen. Create a space where somebody can get in touch with their pain. Create a space in which people can walk through their pain. Create a space in which people can comfortably and safely talk about what they're feeling and what's going on with them. So we're really space creators and energy workers in a lot of ways to help to work with that energy that is blocked in the body and in the energy field. And you know, this can take some time. The road to recovery can take some time. I heard at one point that psychologists had a window of about 6 months for somebody that was grieving before they felt that they needed to prescribe medication, because they understood if you lose somebody in your life, you know, through death or divorce or something like that, and you're depressed, that depression is normal for a period of 6 months. After that, it's considered abnormal and you're prescribed medication. Well, that window was reduced from 6 months to 3 months. Somebody decided that was a decision that was made. And so now you have about a 3 month window to grieve for the loss of a loved one before it's considered unhealthy and medication is prescribed for depression or whatever. I think this is so crazy, personally. It is so crazy to push medication on somebody that's grieving, because medication is going to separate you from your grief. And if you are grieving, you need to grieve. You need to feel the feelings. And it's much harder when you're grieving from a divorce or from a situation like narcissistic abuse, because people do not show up to support you for that. They will show up to support you if a loved one dies. But if you are going through the pain of a terribly toxic relationship, you're going to have very few people actually show up to support you. And most people won't know how to support you. Your friends, your family, and even your therapist may not know how to support you. I've also witnessed a lot of therapeutic abuse from therapists. Not personally. I've had clients come to me and tell me stories, and I'm like, are you kidding me? Really? That really happened? And what happens, I think, for therapists that have not dealt with their own emotional pain, that have not dealt with their own stuff, and that their ego is attached to their work, meaning if you don't get better, then my ego is going to be triggered, and I'm going to find more fault with you because I don't want to take any responsibility for why you're not getting better. Or it can't be my fault because I'm a great therapist. So there's certain beliefs that people have that are in therapy. And so what happens is clients end up getting bullied. They end up really being abused in a lot of ways, in the way that the therapist approaches them and talks to them, because that therapist doesn't know what to do. And this isn't helpful at all. On the most part, that's not going to happen. Like I say, there's a lot of really great therapists out there, and there's also some great traditional therapists that know about narcissistic abuse, especially the ones that have been through it. In fact, I've counseled a lot of therapists that have gone through narcissistic abuse, and they come to me feeling really ashamed at first, like, oh, I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm a therapist and I didn't get it. It's like, of course you didn't. None of us did. It doesn't matter what we were. It's not like going to school to be a psychologist prepares you for narcissistic abuse. It doesn't. So it doesn't matter whether you're a doctor, a lawyer, a therapist, or a homemaker. It does not matter. You're not going to be any better prepared to deal with narcissistic abuse. And if you're having the same symptoms that everybody's having, that doesn't mean that there's something wrong with you. It doesn't mean you're defective. It doesn't mean you're less intelligent. Because the thing I get from a lot of intelligent, successful women is, I'm an intelligent and successful woman. How did this happen to me? Like I said, nobody can be prepared for this. There isn't a manual. I mean, there's a lot of books on narcissistic abuse out there nowadays, but there isn't a manual that prepares us for this if we don't know what we're looking for. Once we understand what narcissistic abuse is, then we know what we're looking for. We know what we're looking at, and hopefully we'll have a method of recovery. So I have a method of recovery that works, But you have to do the work. I help you. I assist you. I help facilitate it. But you have to do the work, and it won't be easy. Anything worthwhile is not easy. I don't have a magic wand in my office. I wish I did, but I don't. So we have to do this the organic way. We've got to walk through the pain. We've got to deal with what's getting in the way. We've got to deal with the blocks. We've got to deal with the energy cords. We've got to deal with the soul loss. And we've got to approach healing on a holistic level. That means we're going to consider all aspects of healing. What is your diet? What are you putting in your body? How are you taking care of yourself? What's going on emotionally? What are your thought processes? What's going on spiritually? So we have to approach it from all levels. If I can be of help to you, I am more than happy to do that. I've been doing this work for over 12 years now with narcissistic abuse. I started my holistic counseling and hypnotherapy practice in 1988, so I've been doing this for a very long time. And we'd be happy to help you through this. It will take a bit of a commitment, but some people have some great relief from just one hypnosis session or one counseling session if that's all you can afford. So contact me if you would like my help. I'm at narcissismfree.com. I also have a lot of podcasts on Pandora's Box that people find really helpful. Thank you for listening and have a great day.